Welcome to the Invested Dads Podcast, simplifying financial topics so that you can take action and make your financial situation better. Helping you to understand the current world of financial planning and investments, here are your hosts, Josh Robb and Austin Wilson.
All right. Hey. Welcome back to the Invested Dads Podcast, a podcast where we take you on a journey to better your financial future. I'm Austin Wilson, co-portfolio manager at Hicks & Zerker Capital Management.
And I'm Josh Robb, director of wealth management at Hicks & Zerker Capital Management. Austin, how can people help us with our podcast?
Three things. Number one, subscribe if you're not subscribed. So hit that plus, that follow, whatever that button is on your podcast player. That way you get new episodes as soon as they drop. Number two, we'd love it if you'd leave us a review. And number three, maybe you have a question about your financial situation. Maybe we can help. We'd like to get to know you. So you can check out the Invest With Us tab on our website, theinvesteddads.com. So Josh.
Yes.
Today, millionaires.
Yes, big number.
So once you hit that status, now that's, we're talking net worth.
Yep.
Once you become a person with $1 million net worth, that's assets, less liabilities.
Yep.
That's kind of a cool place to be.
Yep.
So let's talk about today how millionaires build their wealth. How did millionaires get to be a millionaire?
That's a good question.
It's a great question.
And there's an old joke that I remember, and it goes kind of like this, is how I ended up with $10 million. Here's a list. All right. So get up at 5 a.m. every morning, 90 minutes of cardio, take a cold shower, journal, day trade stocks, schedule out your day.
Okay.
Inherit $20 million from parents. And meditate, and that's how you get there.
That's how you get to be a 10 millionaire.
Yes.
Start with 20.
And that's the thing, is you got to remember that there's a lot of people out there that are going to tell you the keys to success. And you know, some of them may have had maybe a head start on getting there, like $20 million so that they could be $10 million richer because they blew the rest on being smart. But the idea is there's, be careful where you're, who you're getting your advice from.
That's true.
But being in our industry, we get to meet and talk with and learn from a lot of people who have been successful. Right. And so we put together a list of these habits and traits that we think if people follow them, it will be a good way of getting you closer to your goals.
Yeah.
If one of your goals is kind of that wealth. And a lot of these traits, as we go through them, you're going to find they're not just for building wealth. They're just for being a successful person. And so we're going to start going through these. I'm going to do three.
Yep.
You're going to give me a dad joke, and then we're going to end with three. I got a bonus one.
So I was actually thinking, Dave Ramsey, we talk about him. He's a very popular guy in the financial world. We have some differences of opinions on a couple different things, but one thing that I like that he does point out is the vast majority of millionaires he meets, and that's a lot, works and talks with a lot of millionaires, are self-made.
Yes.
So it's actually more rare than you think for people to just have buckets of money dropped on them.
Yep.
In fact, most people just are using some of the things that we're going to talk about very soon, but they do the work. They just continually work hard at it for a long time and they become a millionaire, and that's how they do it. It's not like it was given to most people.
Yes. And as a reminder, actually accumulating $1 million, which seems like this big daunting task, when you give yourself time, if you start early, it's actually not that hard to do.
Mathematically.
Mathematically. And again, not that hard
hard.
The consistency is, and we're going to see that as one of the things we're going to talk about. But just getting to that number is not really the end all be all. Right. It is more a matter of your lifestyle, your needs, and trying to live below that along the way to be able to save and accumulate.
And I would say that $1 million is a very arbitrary number.
Yes.
Right? But this is just something that people think about. They throw out millionaire as a term, but everyone's financial situation is completely different. And so for $1 million may be not near enough for someone to maintain their lifestyle for retirement, whatever that may be, to hit their goals.
Yeah.
But for others, that may be more than enough, depending on their lifestyle and their situation is. So this is just sort of an arbitrary number, but based on whatever your financial goals are, these are some things that are going to help you get there.
That's right. Because if you think about it, a 4% withdrawal, which is kind of our industry standard for withdrawals in retirement, a 4% withdrawal of $1 million is $40,000.
Yeah.
So you'd say, is that enough to need for all my stuff. So yeah, you're right. It's just because we're using that number as a reference point doesn't necessarily mean that's the end all be all of achievements.
Absolutely.
So as we look through it though, we got a couple of these. And so the first one of a trait or habit that we see for successful people is organization,
mm-hmm.
right? If your life is a mess and chaotic, it is hard to achieve your goals and move forward because you're just constantly losing things or missing things or, you know, not optimizing your time or your energy. And so organization is important. And, you know, some people are more naturally inclined to be organized, but overall, I think it really comes down to if you, it's not your kind of default mode, you can learn and find ways to get your organization better.
Right.
And so there's a lot of tools out there. I think with technology, that's one of the benefits I think technology has is there are easier ways. You don't have to carry around a little day planner anymore with you. You have a phone that has a calendar app that you can keep everything in and organized. So just utilize the tools that you have to make sure that you are staying organized because that's going to help you in the long run so that you have more time to do some of these other traits, which we'll talk about.
I think that one thing when it comes to organization is, you know, yes, digital organization is huge, but financial organization is, mm-hmm. is a huge thing. And when I look at accounts, and you can have accounts at a variety of different places, but when it comes to being organized financially, I have found that personally, I am willing to give up a little perk here or a quarter of a percent here or whatever to try and have as much as I can in one place, on one app, on one screen.
Yep.
And then, so for Fidelity is the example, you know, they custody a lot of assets, a lot of retirement assets around the country, and you can have all kinds of different accounts there. But if you have all of your accounts or most of your accounts in one place, it's so easy to just move money around instead of having to go, well, I'm using Chase for this, I'm using Fidelity for this, but I'm going to use XYZ for this. Like, that makes things a little bit trickier to be organized when
yep.
you're trying to look at things all at once. So that's one thing when it comes to organization that I found a little helpful.
Yep. Time to me is the huge one. Is if I am not organized, I waste time trying to figure things out. And that's really where I think you save a lot from that. But yeah, you're right. Organization and budgeting, which fits in this next category that I have, but I think it overlaps between organization and being frugal. All right?
Not cheap.
There's a difference. Frugal is just being mindful of your spending yeah. and making sure you're getting the most bang for your buck.
Right.
Most self-made millionaires have some form of frugality built into who they are.
Yeah.
They didn't as far as they did by spending a lot of money. They were very aware of their expenses and their costs and were only keen to spend money when it made sense.
Yep.
And so being frugal and being organized and budgeting, like you talked about, I think those go hand in hand because if you don't know where your money's going, it's kind of hard to know if you're spending it. If you don't know where everything's at, it makes a lot of sense. So what a lot of people run into is trying to keep up with those other people around them with new cars and bigger houses and all those things. And while it may feel good in the short run to get you that long-term success, those are the things that actually hold you back,
oh, yeah.
not get you farther forward.
Yep.
And so I think you and I were talking before this that, you know, a lot of self-made millionaires, they don't drive brand new cars.
They could afford it.
Yes.
But they've made a habit over many years of probably not having a big expensive car payment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, maybe they drive, Dave Ramsey likes to say, you know, his millionaires he talks to drive a 5-year-old Toyota or whatever.
Yep.
Like, it's nothing flashy. It gets the job done. They probably bought it used, statistically speaking. And so that kind of brings me to a couple like tips. Buy things that last.
Mm-hmm.
So when you buy something, don't buy something that is just giving you the endorphins of being a purchaser.
Yep.
Buy something that even if you have to save up a little bit for it, it's going to last a while. And then you won't have to continue to be replacing it. This goes for technology. This goes for vehicles. This goes for clothing. Another thing that I found very helpful is buy used first. Whether that be a car, that's one thing because that's a huge, you can save a lot of money buying mm-hmm. a used car. But clothing, kids' clothing.
Oh, man. So expensive.
If you go buy it new, your kid's going to wear it 3 times and outgrow
mm-hmm.
it. So go to Goodwill or Salvation Army first or see if your friend who has another kid, like I just got handed a bag of clothes from a coworker.
There you go.
You can swap things back and forth. Mm-hmm. That's one way to save money. Where you shop for groceries is one way to save money too, and how you shop for groceries. Eating in the house is typically cheaper than eating out, all these things. There's mm-hmm. a lot of different ways to save money over time. It takes intentionality. Culture wants you to spend a bunch of money all the time, and you're being constantly targeted yep. with your ads on your phone of ways to spend more
Look
money.
At all these cool things we have. And you need
cool.
it.
They are cool. And
they're
you know
always
what?
Cool.
Some of those things are good, and you can enjoy them, but you also need to be realistic that some of doing too much of this can get in the way of your long-term goals.
That's right. And that frugality isn't something that is bad, because one of the things, and this isn't on my list, but it goes with this, is a lot of wealthy people are also great givers. Mm-hmm. And so this sense of frugality is not just a stingy everything I got to hold on tight. It's just a mindfulness of your spending, because it doesn't mean you cut back on giving or anything like that. It means more that I'm aware and value this expense versus that expense. And that's really where it comes down to.
Well, I think that's the difference between frugality and being cheap.
Yes.
Being cheap has a negative yeah. connotation, mm-hmm. and that is the being stingy with what I have. I'm not a giver. I'm not a cheerful giver if I am giving.
Yep.
I feel like it's horrible and it's not fun, but being frugal is just being intentional, being cautious,
yep.
being realistic, and that allows you to have the flexibility to be generous,
mm-hmm.
which is a joy.
Yep. All right. Third one is knowledge or reading. Most millionaires, that especially self-made ones,
yep.
have a skill or expertise that got them to that point. And most of the time that came from the desire to continually be growing and learning in their education and in their skills. And I think that's a huge factor. And I think in general, even when we look at people in retirement, continuing to grow and challenge yourself is a big part of just maintaining a healthy mind and body, is just to continue to push yourself that way.
Right. That's something that Warren Buffett's been very vocal about in his entire career, is what does he do all day?
He likes to read.
He just reads.
Reads everything.
He reads papers. He reads articles. He reads books. He reads just his entire job is reading.
Yep.
And when you read, you're intaking knowledge. And from that knowledge, you're able to apply it to, mm-hmm. in his case, investing a lot of money.
Yep.
But whatever you're doing, you can do it really well the more knowledge you have.
That's right.
And I would argue that being well-read in a diverse spectrum of things is really mm-hmm. is really important. So, you know, you could read, yes, personal finance and business books, but read things about science, mm-hmm. read things about space, read things about history. And that's just going to form a well-rounded person that is going to be really social.
Yeah. If you're older male, read about the Roman Empire. Is that the thing now?
That could be. I mean, yeah. But yeah, I would say just being well-read is a cool thing.
All right. Can you give me a dad joke?
Dad joke of the week. We're taking a break, Josh. Why did the man put his money into the blender?
Ooh, put up money in the blender. Why did he blend his money?
He wanted to make liquid assets.
Oh, he wanted his assets to be liquid.
Haha, that's a
I get
liquidity.
It. Liquidity.
It's a liquidity play.
Nice.
So that was your dad joke of the week. We got okay. three more.
All right.
And Josh always brings extras.
I have a bonus at the
end. Come back to
All right. So discipline.
Discipline.
You'll see most successful people have developed discipline within their life.
Yep.
You know, you see some of those. I think it was a guy who started Twitter. He was known for his fasting, his eating. He had a lot of different disciplines within his life. Yep. Jack Dorsey. Yep. But you see those habits, right? And that's kind of that joke back up to my top, like, you know, wake up at 5 a.m., do your workout. Yeah. But all those things are really true in the sense of, like, if you have a disciplined life, you tend to have routines and mm-hmm. you tend to have habits, hopefully positive habits, that will help enhance your progress. And, you know, discipline also helps you avoid things.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's the other side of the coin, is if I'm disciplined, I'm also less likely to be distracted or fall for the things that will set me back on my progress.
And I think that discipline leads to consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And consistency does what?
Compounds.
Consistency compounds. And that is exactly what it takes to become a millionaire.
Yep.
You don't have to do much.
Mm-mm.
You have to be intentional and
yep.
be consistent for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're consistent about it for decades, no problem.
Yep.
Anyone who has enough time can be a millionaire if they're disciplined.
Yes. And number five is goal-oriented. Goal-oriented, because if you don't have a direction that you're going to, you will wander and get distracted and get pulled in all different directions, but you need to have an end target. And you see that with successful people is they wanted to achieve X, whatever that was. And they're solely focused on getting there. And that's what it takes. I mean, you look at athletes, right? They have to put in the time and the effort, all everything we talk about, discipline and, you know, all that matters. But if you don't have that end point, you lose your momentum, you lose your desire to get there. And so you need to have a goal. You need to have a focus. And you can be flexible on it. It may change. But you need to know where you're heading to. So if it is kind of putting that dollar sign there saying, hey, I want $1 million by X date, it gives you a target and an objective, and it allows you then to work backwards. It set up what you need to do to get there.
Yeah. And I would say that this is a great thing. Like, obviously, when we're talking about these things, these are things that we would suggest you should be doing with your spouse also.
Yes.
All of these different habits. You could go from 20 to 10 million if you're not on the same
page. The other direction,
But being on the same page is going to be huge. So when it goes to your goals, that's something you should be sitting down with your spouse, looking far ahead, saying, hey, here's where we want to be in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, and what do we need to do to get there? And it is amazing what two people can accomplish if they're on the same page.
Right. And the last of my normal list before the bonus is networking and relationship building. And so the idea there is who you know matters. And the successful people spend time getting out there and interacting with others.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when it comes to the business world, that's very important, is to network, is to make those connections, because you never know down the road where there may be a way of, you know, doing business or working with somebody. But I saw one thing that says they spend like 5 hours a week networking, something like that, for successful business people. And it's like, it doesn't take a lot, you know, it's like seeing them at events or, you know, grabbing coffee with somebody, those type of things. But connecting with people matters. And that's, you know, those networks will help you down the road.
And I would argue that the type of people you are connected with is what matters the most.
Yes.
So don't connect with and don't surround yourself with people who aren't helping you get to those places that you want to go. So if you're surrounding yourself with people who are not motivated, who don't have goals, you're probably going to take on certain parts of that. You're going to be surrounding yourself with that and saying, oh, that's just how people do things. No, these people that we're talking about who are, you know, networked and connected professionally with people, they're surrounding themselves with people who are like-minded. And those like-minded people are going to help them and encourage them to do the right thing over time.
Yep. And the bonus one.
Bonus
is risk tolerance. And what I'm talking about here is most successful people understand how much risk they're able to tolerate and actually take risks. Most successful people took a risk to get there, right? Whether it's especially starting your own business, you know, taking those leaps and taking that risk, there's a risk reward, right? If you want the reward, you got to take the risk.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think of people that I've met and they've talked about early on when they were starting their business, right? They, you know, had to, you know, use their savings or, you know, get a loan or all those things. And they were taking a risk. If it didn't work, it was going to be an issue. Yep. It motivated them to succeed, but it also enabled them that opportunity. And so understanding how much risk you're willing to take and being willing to step out on that ledge and say, okay, this has the potential to get me closer to where I want to be. Am I willing to take that risk? And that's important.
I would go as far as saying that it is going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to become a millionaire without taking risk.
That's right.
Because you know what you don't get without taking risk? Any return.
Yes.
You are not going to outpace inflation without return. And this feeds directly into how you invest your money, because most millionaires, they work with an advisor. Mm-hmm. That's going to be another bonus that we need to talk about. But most millionaires have invested in financial assets, likely the stock market, for a long time. And they know that the risk is not that stocks are going to go down over time. They know the risk is not holding stocks, because that's the only way to grow their money and over time that is proven, you know, stocks, bonds, to outpace inflation.
Right. And like you mentioned, and I think this becomes apparent, not when you become a millionaire, but on your way towards it, is working with a financial advisor, like you mentioned. It just helps someone alongside you who has some expertise and knowledge to make sure you are making those right decisions, to help advise you along the way in getting there. But then once you do achieve that, you know, you're right, is that can then I take less risk, work a little less, and let my money work for me. And that's a great place to get to.
Absolutely.
Where then you can have it compound on itself and provide what you need.
Yeah, for sure.
Final thoughts, Austin. Any other thoughts when it comes to millionaires and how they got there?
I just think you need to take, it's all about time horizon, mm-hmm. right? So no, I would not listen to anyone who says you can become a millionaire overnight.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of those people on social media and TikTok and Instagram and Twitter. No. That's not how $1 million is made. That's not how millionaires are made.
Yep.
This is made through long time horizons and little right decisions every day. Just make little right decisions along the way and continue to make those little right decisions mm-hmm. and you're gonna have success.
Yes, for sure.
So long term, small things every day beats big things at one instance, right?
Yes, for sure. And In the end, I never want anybody to get caught up on that number, because happiness, satisfaction does not just come from the dollars, right? Understanding what your purpose is, why you're here on earth, what your strengths are, that's really where you're going to see the most satisfaction in your life. But all those traits that got people to that point are useful for that. Absolutely. And so I think, you know, again, millionaires are great because it's just an exciting threshold. But people who are dedicated to get there show those traits that will help you, anybody in whatever situation, and get to their end point.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for listening. Please remember that you can share these episodes with your friends. Maybe you had someone saying, oh, what does it take to be a millionaire? Well, here's 6 and change items that you can use to do that. And maybe you have an idea for an episode, or someone else does. Feel free to send that to hello@theinvesteddads.com. We would love to hear from you. And until next episode, have a good one.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Invested Dads podcast. This episode has ended, but your journey towards a better financial future doesn't have to. Head over to theinvesteddads.com to access all the links and resources mentioned in today's show. If you enjoyed this episode and we had a positive impact on your life, leave us a review, click subscribe, and don't miss the next episode. Josh Robb and Austin Wilson work for Hicks & Zerker Capital Management. All opinions expressed by Josh, Austin, or any podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Hicks & Zerker Capital Management. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions. Clients of Hicks & Zerker Capital Management may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. There is no guarantee that the statements, opinions, or forecasts provided herein will prove to be correct. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Indices are not available for direct investment. Any investor who attempts to mimic the performance of an index would incur fees and expenses, which would reduce returns. Securities investing involves risk, including the potential for loss of principal. There is no assurance that any investment plan or strategy will be successful.